Flatiron Health sponsors this episode. Their mission is to improve the lives of cancer patients by helping oncologists spend more time with patients and empowering scientists to conduct research faster. To achieve these goals, they're looking for bright, curious, and passionate people to join the team. With roles across engineering, sales, and data science, join Flatiron in building tech for good. The link is in the show notes.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of Techish. Abadesi of Hustle Crew here.
And Michael Behane of peopleofcolorintech.com. Let's go. Do you know what? The first story I want to start rocking with is something that I found fascinating. So apparently COVID-19 has led to a boom in plastic surgery. Now, the industry, the cosmetic surgery industry, I think the pandemic was, they were thinking it's going to be a problem for them. Ixnay, like no business. No one's going to be able to come visit us. But the boom of Zoom, so the Zoom boom. Has meant that people are stuck looking at their faces a lot more than they used to. You know what I'm saying? Because I mean, like, realistically speaking, how often would you look in the mirror all day? If you're the vain listener amongst us, if you're super vain, if you got it like that, you might spend quite a bit of time in the mirror. But more times than not, it wasn't the whole day. But if you're doing Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting and the lighting on your camera ain't looking good, you're going to be like, yo, I need to go to the docs. And I think, I don't know, I find it fascinating the kind of like second and third order effects of things. So like, who amongst us would have predicted that causal change? So the first chain is, okay, there's a pandemic. We can't see each other face to face. Then I said Zoom would be a good stock. So that's me thinking first order effect, the simple like level. Then thinking second and third order effect as an investor, for example, if you're thinking that deep, then you might get, that's when the returns start getting good because you need
more people on video calls, more people looking at their faces, more people putting on makeup. I mean, that beauty filter will only go so far, right? Because Zoom does have that effect, but I mean, it doesn't do enough. And then you go, wow, okay, so what's the fourth order effect then?
So my hypothesis now... That too.
Therapy's on the app.
I think definitely as a lockdown, therapy will be on the app. I think every other person I know now is in therapy.
No, I just meant you get the new face, but you're still unhappy.
Ah, got you. You're talking about compounding effects. Okay, cool. So the other thing that I think we'll see now more is avatars. So I think it's going to become much more common now where, I don't know if Zoom allows you to do it. I try not to spend too much time on there, but eventually you probably will be able to have like a permanent filter and then probably some kind of avatar. And I think it will become normalized over the next 5-10 years that
my Bitmoji or my emoji.
Yeah. And it will just be, you know, that talking and synced up with your face, but it won't be the real you. Now, the other possibility, which is much further along, is that some people now think we may end up in a world of where your identity is no longer known. So you would have so if we're all working
like
remote,
Ready Player One.
Basically, if we're all working remote and we could be anywhere in the world, as long as we've got the chops and the skills, who says that you necessarily need to know who I am? Now, this might sound crazy. Like, this probably might sound, this is so far in the future, but I feel like it may happen sooner than you think. And I was listening to one of Abadesi's, I think he's probably in the top 10 of your enemy list, Balaji. No, I'm joking. He's a smart cat. And he was saying basically that essentially a lot of right-wing people are afraid of being cancelled. So they're saying that in order to prevent and protect your income from your statements about what you may say, you may now work anonymously or pseudonymously. It's not completely anonymous. It will be like an avatar. So you won't be Abadesi. You might be like a...
Morpheus.
Do you know what I'm saying? Nice. Basically like the Matrix, right? And we will know you as Morpheus. Your identity and all your work achievements will be as Morpheus, but we will just see your avatar and we won't necessarily know that Abadesi on Twitter who's saying, you know, down with this, you know, cancel this person or whatever, that your political perspective will no longer impact your income because they won't know who's who. I don't know. I think this is probably 10, 20 years off, but I can see it happening.
Okay. I have so many things to unpack there.
Go on.
So...
I went on a long one there.
First of all, there's already people like operating under an alias. There are certain domains in society where that's already like culturally acceptable. It might be, you know, faceless musicians like I don't know.
The gorillas.
Yeah. Everything's primate themed.
Yeah.
Artist Banksy, cool. Satoshi, everyone on Reddit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like very few people on really popular platforms actually know who the person is.
Yeah.
I was also thinking of like, I used to live during college with a guy who was really into World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like all of those worlds. What do you call that kind of video game as a non-gamer?
I'm not a gamer, you know, man. I got a social life. And I'm joking now.
Gamers are just like regretting that they listen to our podcast now. They're like, why? Canceling
they thought,
us.
They thought it was a safe space for nerds. I'm sorry. No, I'm joking. I used to, but I'm too busy. Yeah. But yeah, go on.
So there's already parts of the world where we can create like authentic connection and trust with an avatar. But it's really difficult in the space of politics, which is effectively the space of identity, to be identity-less. Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, I can't imagine any version of the future where a head of state is elected who no one knows who that person is. Like, no one knows what identity groups they are from. No one knows what their demographics are, because all of those things are still so important to the way we assess someone's ability to lead based on their lived experience, based on their ability to empathize and find compassion with ours. I just don't think, when it comes to politics, I think it's going to be really, really hard for you to create status through an anonymous identity.
Yeah, I think that if that is ever to happen, that's like 100, 200, 300 years off. But I think in the world of economics, I think it's probably a lot closer.
An anonymous CEO, you would invest in a company that has an anonymous CEO. Like, you do know the CEO beyond an avatar, and the avatar
if there was an email from Satoshi and you could back up using the blockchain his identity. So he's like, listen, this is my crypto hash, whatever. And you can see this is the first block on the blockchain of Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
You could verify it. Let's say there's an email service where you could do that, right? Would I work with that person? Absolutely, I would work with that person. I wouldn't need
because
to know who the hell they are.
By the blockchain.
Yes, and that's probably
where the blockchain.
I'm not a crypto expert, but I think it's nigh on impossible to lie about that. Mm. About who owns what, you know what I'm saying? Mm. But I'm sure there's some crypto specialists, you know, scratching their head saying I'm explaining it wrong. But going forward, I think that may be a possibility. It's not a near possibility, like in terms of the CEO, but in terms of workers, I think even my sister, years ago, she was big into like internet forums. So Gen Z, if you're listening, there was these things called internet forums before like social media. And like, she would write about like TV shows and, you know, and whatever, like in these forums. And people would be like, "Rah, you're a good writer." Like, and I think she got paid once via PayPal to do some form of writing, but nobody knew who she really was. Do you know what I'm saying? It was just via email. Listen, you write great stuff. Like, can you, you know, fix this Wikipedia entry for us? Or can you, you know, do some work on a blog for us and get paid?
Yeah.
So it probably has happened in like those kind of occasions much more often than we realize. But going forward, we'll see.
This reminds me of the Dave Chappelle sketch where he plays a KKK guy, like a fervent member of the KKK.
Yeah.
And he goes to a KKK meeting and he's just like spouting all of his anti-black hate stuff, spouting his white supremacist views, and in this moment of excitement just pulls off his hood
and he's black.
And everyone's jaw just drops on the floor. And I think, you know, it's like in that moment everything he said lost its power because people were like, he's not one of us.
Yeah.
And I just think we are still operating in many ways from that primitive part of our brain, and that primitive part of our brain needs to see a face to trust something. Not always, but
think about it, the primitive part of our brain needs to see people face to face. Do you know what I'm saying? Me and you, we haven't seen each other.
That's
in
why
the
everyone's
flesh.
Depressed right now.
I know that, but we're still working economically. Like, me and you, we're still getting this podcast popping,
bro.
And that's what I'm saying. And when it comes to paying the bills, you're probably gonna go for the developer who's the best, even if he has an avatar, versus the developer who's substandard, who ain't gonna do the right project for Hustle Crew or whatever, right?
So let's to be an avatar. That's what you're telling me, Mike. You're ready. You're going to be sending
I might have some out there already. Some products out there. It might be from me, but you don't know. You know, I'm not trying to get cancelled. Some controversial tech products. No, I'm joking. Have a look on Product Hunt. Let's have a look. See me. No, I'm joking. No, but I think I did hear Sahil from Gumroad say that he has released products that you don't know that's him, basically. So we'll see.
Challenge accepted.
Let's see. Okay, that's interesting.
What is the advantage? Like, other than not being canceled. So I get that idea of like, oh, I want to like be alt-right, but I don't want my business to suffer as a result of my political leanings.
Right.
So I am going to have like this alias when I'm spouting my alt-right stuff. Yeah, let's just for argument's sake.
Yeah.
But other than hiding your nefarious deeds, what is the advantage?
What if you're in a country with a totalitarian government and you're working on crypto stuff and they don't want you to work on crypto?
So like hackers do.
Hackers
like are anonymous people. You don't know
exactly
who they are.
Exactly. But I'm talking about getting hired for Google or getting hired for Facebook or getting hired for, you know, a startup that's scaling up.
Can a company pay a salary? Can a company have someone on a payroll
that hasn't had
a legally verified identity?
Probably not.
Maybe the first person to make the state that lets you do that, like the way Estonia has a digital passport, that's going to be the innovation in governance and like governance systems. Maybe the first country that's like, hey, guess what? You can work and be on a payroll and get benefits without having a real identity is going to be the country that gets all the best talent in the future.
It might be.
All the best talent that want to
hide.
Have questionable.
Yeah. No, but like I said to you, though, there might be legitimate reasons. You might be, you know, in a state that's not friendly to you because of your ethnicity, because of your political beliefs, because of like, not everything is in a Western context. Yeah, so I mentioned it briefly before, but J. Cole, this is the most random story I've seen about him ever. So he's now going to be playing.
That's saying a lot as well.
Yeah, I know.
Crazy stories.
So there's lots of stuff here I didn't know, I wasn't aware of, that I'm kind of sad I didn't know. Number one, there's a Basketball Africa League that's launching soon. It's a joint venture with the NBA and I think the basketball governing body. They're trying to basically create a league and there's going to be 12 countries, I think. So it's a Pan-African League. It's going to feature, amazing, I think, Nigeria, Senegal, Morocco, Algeria,
on,
Cameroon,
Nigeria,
Mali, Mozambique, Madagascar, Rwanda, so and Tunisia.
Yeah,
a whole bunch of more countries. I'm gonna put a link in the show notes.
Eritrea?
No, we're not there. We ain't there. So I gotta pick a country to support. I'm probably gonna have to go with Rwanda just because it's on the east side and also for another reason, which I'm gonna explain. So J. Cole, who actually is a bit of a basketball player, I think he thought one day he could go pro, is now going to be playing for the Rwandan team. And I'm not going to lie, this is marketing genius from the league. Like, why
this
not
is
do
crazy.
That? Yeah, why not? It reminds me of the kind of like the Logan Paul kind of boxing stuff where it's like, that stuff is, it's like, why not? If we're going to create a league from scratch, fuck it. Let's just get celebrities in here. Like, who the hell cares? Like, what's going
to
draw?
Does he need to be Rwandan? Or
so he's, no. It's a team. This is not a national team. These are just like clubs.
So it's
LA Lakers and the Chicago Bulls. Like, anybody can play, you know what I'm saying? As long as you get signed by that team. Now, where I was super chuffed is that obviously I think it's going to be great in terms of economic output, tourism.
I want to watch this.
Yeah, I want to watch that shit as well. Like, you know what I'm saying? And obviously just even on that corny basic level of the Africa you don't see. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, as in, this is a context now where we can popularize things that are happening on the continent beyond the war, famine, blah, 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 that you always see on the news, right? So that's always positive. The thing that was negative to me was that it was financed by the NBA. Like, when I first heard about it, I was so excited. I was like, oh my Lord, this is like some for us, by us, on the continent, doing our own thing. Marcus Garvey will be proud.
Come on now.
Then I looked at it and I was like, financed by the NBA. These same people. Why? Why? But you know what? It's better than nothing.
Legitimize it.
Yeah.
It's easier to do. You ever try to build something from scratch out in Eritrea? I mean, I never tried to build something from scratch in Eritrea, but I knew it would
be hard. No, but that's annoying
because
the NBA was also initially something that was started from scratch. Do you know what I'm saying? And now 80 to 100 years later, it's a big thing. So if we still have to do things from scratch, right? But you know what? I ain't mad at it. It's going to be good. I hope J. Cole is going to do his thing. And I'm going to buy a jersey. I don't buy basketball jersey that often, but that's going to be sick.
Oh, I am so going to buy one.
Yeah, that's going to be dope, man. So shout out to that. The Basketball Africa League is launching in a couple of weeks. Everybody check it out.
Placing my bets on Nigeria winning now.
Hold on. What's the Nigerian team? It's called the Nigeria's Rivers Hoopers. All right, cool.
We could have done better.
It could have been like Lagos Layups. Come on, it could have been something. Come on, guy. Like, I came up with like 2 seconds.
Though.
Yeah, it's true. Anyways. So, yeah, like another quick random topic. I tweeted out like business partners into friends, basically, is better than kind of friendship into business partners. And it's kind of stirred the pot of a bit of a debate. Some people were like, nah, what are you talking about? Like, me and my friends have started a business together. And I'm like, yeah, you just started out.
Yeah, Just wait.
Holler at me in a few years and we can talk. Do you know what I'm saying? I think I know a bit more about your backstory about this stuff, but like, you know, say it in the way where you can keep people's names out of it and stuff like that. But like, what's been your experience? Like, what do you optimize for? Do you think it's better to work with someone that you respect, but you don't know them that well and you can get to know them? Or is it better to be like, listen, I know you and I respect you, we're good friends, let's like work together? Like, what is the optimal?
I'm definitely like, don't shit where I eat kind of camp. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think when it comes to ventures, just because of the very nature of them being high risk and often low reward, I do think it is better to just work with someone where you're not expecting anything beyond do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And if it then becomes a friendship, that's great. That's a plus. You and I started a podcast and became friends through doing the podcast. Like, we didn't know each other that well.
You what? I thought we were best friends. How dare you? No, I'm joking. No, you're right. I think literally we interacted like 3-4 times, literally before that. Yeah.
Whereas in the past, I've been like pulled into things from with people that I worked with before. Like, we had mutual friends, we went to school, we went to uni, whatever. And then it's so hard to transition that relationship to a business relationship where you are, let's face it, critical with each other a lot, super direct, in conflict. You know, starting a business is so stressful, and it's really high risk. And for a lot of the time, let's face it, it's low reward as well. Mm-hmm. You're just not getting anything out of it.
No guarantees.
And when you come together to collaborate on a business, usually what happens is you already have really clear expectations and also like clear boundaries. Like, hey, you're going to code, I'm going to sell, let's do this, boom, boom, boom. And you can be in conflict from day one, because that's sort of like the art of compromise and the art of moving forward. Yeah. But often, like, friendships happen under completely different circumstances.
Completely.
Like, you don't even necessarily like have a lot of like shared experience or shared goals and motivations beyond enjoying each other's company. And you don't ever mm-hmm. really need to challenge that. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, oh, let's catch up. Like, I think of people that, you know, I'm someone who like has definitely had their string of like failed interactions of starting businesses with friends. And it always came down to the fact of like, what we knew each other on a friends level, and that was good, but we did not know each other on a business level. And then yeah. when the shit hit the fan, it was like, oh my God, I don't actually like who you are as a business person. Either like our ethics don't align, our values don't align, or like the way that we communicate respect to people doesn't align. That's often how it came down to me. I was just like, I often just like found myself feeling like quite disrespected by people that I saw as my business partners. And I was just like, I need to be able to communicate this to you. And if you can't receive that or work on that, then we can't continue to work together. You know what I'm saying? And it's so difficult. Because like, if you come together as business people, you can just get that out of the way from day one. And there's no personal history. Oh, remember that time when, or I did this for you, or I did that for you. There's no like sense of entitlement, no sense of whatever. You just come to the table. Mm-hmm. Whereas like with friendships, I feel like there's just like a bit more of a sense of entitlement, as well as like a bit more of like, it's emotional connection and sensitivity.
Absolutely.
And it just muddies the waters. What do you think?
I agree. I think you're hardwired to want your friends to like you. So I think a lot of us struggle with telling friends like, yo, like you're fucking up, basically. You're messing up. And I feel like with somebody who is essentially more of a stranger, it's just like, you can just be like, bro, like, this is not good enough. I've got my boundaries. And if this doesn't work, we can part ways. And I feel no type of way about that. But if you actually have a friendship that you value, those hard combos, they're difficult. They're difficult.
Yeah.
I always say, to be honest, you should always work together in like a small project. I think I grew
Test
up hating.
It out.
Yes. So I grew up hating university group projects. Like, I was like, this is the worst thing ever. Like, I can't believe I have to rely on these people. But sometimes I was in group projects with friends, and some of them I hated. Some of them I was like, bro, I can't continue this friendship no more. Like, because you're actually a bad person because you've left me to do the work all on my own. Like, you can't even be a good human being and do that. You know what I'm saying? So how can we be friends? But the ones who I worked with that as friends, that I was like, Rob, you kind of work well together. Like, okay, you're a grinder, I'm a grinder. All right, cool, let's do this. I could then say, let's do a business partnership, because actually we've tested the waters. We know what we're like on a small thing that kind of matters but doesn't matter. So, but just going in like head first with like your best friend, your homie, bro, be prepared to A, not make any money, because businesses don't work more times than not. Yeah. And two, be prepared to lose the friendship. If you're willing to jeopardize 100%. The friendship, you know what I'm 100%. Saying, then go for it. But if you're not, thing. And I've had situations where I've kind of moonwalked from people who kind of wanted to do stuff with me, and I was like, I'd rather just be friends, honestly. Do you know what I'm saying? I'd rather think,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd rather just keep it simple.
Yeah.
And then the only thing is, like, if it's like your really close friend who you hang out with a lot, then when you hang out, all you're going to talk about is work. And you
it's
just want,
work.
Yeah, like, you need downtime. Like, yeah, that sucks, man. So anyways, yeah, I think I would warn people against it unless you're absolutely sure.
Oh, definitely.
And I would say,
test
it out with some kind of small project.
Never risk what you're not willing to lose.
Yeah.
See, when you try to turn a friendship into a business, you're putting that friendship at risk. You better be ready to lose that friendship, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas if it's a business partnership, I'll risk the business partnership. And if we lose the business partnership, that's fine. You go back to your life. I go back to mine. Sometimes we stay friends. I've done sprints with people where I was like, oh, let's work on this idea together. Okay, cool. Let's spend 3 months. Boom, boom, boom. Get to the end of the 3 months. And you're like, you know what? Nah, let's not do it. But then we stay friends.
Yeah.
And I actually really, really much prefer that. Like, oh, wow, here's a really cool person I can work on a project with. Okay, we vibe. Let's stay connected. But yeah, I mean, yeah, right now my friends are my friends. I want to keep it my friends. I don't want to risk losing them to a business venture.
Yeah. And we were saying before, how like we didn't even necessarily know each other that well before we started a podcast, and we've built a friendship. Yeah. Who are you? Who are you? Who's a stranger before me? Yeah. Like, So that was probably a more healthier way of doing it, where we like got to know each other and like, okay, cool. Obviously, I'm not saying that we don't know each other. I'm sure I know you all the time, but we have built a friendship. That's the part where you meant to be like, no, Michael, you don't know me. That's the part where you meant to just step in there and be like, yo, Michael, you're the best. I'm joking. All right, cool. See how I did that? You see how I did that? I figured out that I know you. Anyways, that's better. No, but the point is we kind of worked and built a friendship that way.
This episode is sponsored by Movable Ink. Movable Ink activates any data into real time, personalized content for over 700 of the world's most innovative brands. Movable Ink is one of the fastest growing SaaS companies in the US and is recognized by Inc. magazine's Best Workplaces in 2020 and 2019. They're hiring on pocketjobs.com and the link is in the show notes to apply.
So in previous episodes, we talked about how Apple is now doing a feature where they will allow you to block apps from tracking you on other websites and other kind of third-party apps. And the king of tracking you, Zuckerberg was like...
I was like, the king of tracks? Okay, yeah, he's dropping beats now.
He's dropping beats. Yeah, no, the king of tracking you.
Imagine Mark Zuckerberg rapping. Anyway,
detour. Yeah, so anyway, the king of tracking you across the web, Zuckerberg, was obviously not happy about that. Facebook ad product, you know, uses lots of data from you surfing the website. You actually admitted, and I think a lot of people, they might not want to go ahead with what you said, but they would agree with you that, for example, the ads on Instagram are very tailored and they're actually very helpful. And a lot of times they look great. Yeah, they actually look great. And they sometimes they're very beautifully designed and they do stop you in your tracks. I probably would consider it the best ad product in the world. Like I probably have been interested in buying products from that more than any other ad. You know, I'm not searching on Google's adverts and I'm not searching on Amazon's adverts. Like I'm just not, right? So this will weaken their ad product. They won't be able to target you as well. Like let's say you're Googling about, you know, J. Cole's new album, whatever, like they're tracking you. Then when you go on Instagram, you're getting hit up. J. Cole's new album's coming out. Yeah, J. Cole tour, J. Cole merch, whatever, blah, 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 right? Now, I actually got the update and TikTok was the app where I first saw it. And I'm not going to lie, I was super happy to hit don't track me. I can't lie to you. And I felt empowered. I felt like He-Man. I was like, yo, this is great right now. I have some control over my life now. And to be honest, you're not in the majority. 4% of iOS users. 4% of iOS users have said track me. And 96% were like, this is based
only
on US.
4%.
This is based on US sample data. Yes.
Compared to what? Like 100% of them before when they didn't have the choice to opt out.
Essentially, yes.
Unless they manually did it. Right, right, right.
I don't think there was even an option to even manually do that. So I think...
Wow.
Do you think it's because you have more of a knowledge on how the web works and that how Instagram basically tailors those ads that you actually enjoy versus the average person who just thinks, what is the positive to this? Like, just block me. Like, just don't track me at all. Do you think that's why?
It's like the language that they've used.
Yes.
You know, the
I will try and get it. I'll screenshot it. I'll try and get the actual language. Hold on, carry on.
Because if it was like, do you want to receive personalized ads based on your activity in this app, I'd probably be like, oh yes please.
So let me read it.
Like,
so let me
do
read
you
it.
Consent to being tracked? I'll be like, nah.
So I've got it in front of me. It says allow TikTok to track your activity across other companies' apps and websites. This allows TikTok to provide you with a better ads experience. Ask app not to track or allow. And ask app not to track is the first option. So, and then allow is underneath that, right? So, yeah.
I don't like the
phraseology.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as we all know, I'm just like, track away, give me them ads. But I do think most people just don't feel comfortable being observed outside of the app. It's the fact that it's watching what you do on other apps that it doesn't like, you know what I mean? Like people don't want to like mix all the different things. Like you don't know what other apps I have on my phone. I might have some deeply personal apps on there. I don't want you to know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. It's something out of the comfort zone. That's where I think that motivation is coming from.
I think, inherently people don't have a problem with Facebook tracking the hell out of you when you're on Facebook or Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like you can see who I like, you can see who my friends are, whatever, whatever. But then when you go beyond that and say, I want to know what you're doing when I'm not on your platform, like it just feels icky. And I think Facebook will be fine. They'll figure out a way to, you know, thrive and survive. Mm-hmm. But I do think it weakens their position for the simple reason that the three largest digital ad spends go to which companies? Obviously, you're going to say Google, Facebook, and who's the third one?
Online ad spend.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun. Amazon?
Yes, correct. Amazon is seven times bigger in terms of ad spend than Twitter, which is their entire business model. And that's because
anybody buying Twitter ads.
Yeah, I know. But I tried to one time, and it wouldn't even let me. I was like, I can't. Yeah, I was like, this is so incompetent. I was like, wow. I'm trying to give you money, guys. Like Jack Dorsey. Like I'm trying to give you money. Like help me, anyways. Help me, help you. To quote Tom Cruise, right? And it wouldn't work. And the reason why I bring up those three companies is that on Google, the intent is I'm searching for a car. Show me adverts for a car. As an advertiser, I'm going to be like, all right, cool, perfect. Amazon is, I'm buying this product. I'm buying headphones. Show me other headphones that are great, which is the Amazon product. Facebook says, I know your friends. I know what you kind of like. But a big component was, I'm also tracking you across the web. Do you know what I'm saying? That was the third stool on their chair, right? That was also a big part of it. So that does weaken their ad product. And the cheeky thing is, I was defending Apple. Turns out Apple is actually now building their own ad product. So this was, they've hired a dude who's like an ad specialist at Facebook. So I was like, Apple, man, you know, the good guys, privacy. But that is terrible. I can't defend that. You're just, it's a completely competitive judo chop move. Like, let me weaken my opponent and let me just go into their business.
I just want to jump into the alternate reality where people have a bit more imagination within the constraints of capitalism.
Go on, talk to me.
It's just like, I mean.
Imagine more.
It's just, I just like, oh, advertising, great. Like, let's just like shove people with messages about things they don't need and make money out of that. Like, sometimes all of society feels a bit like a scam.
I'll give you the pro case for advertisements. Basically, it makes everything free. So I'm a poor kid, I can use Facebook for free. I'm a poor kid, I can use Instagram for free. I'm a poor person, I can watch all this content on newspapers and the New York Times. I mean, not anymore. Now there's paywalls for everything, basically, right? Yeah. And I saw her hilarious tweet where someone said, if I'm going to get canceled, please let it be on Business Insider so no one can read it. Bro,
because you know,
when I'm doing research for the show, the paywalls are killing me. But anyway, historically, online content was free, just and paid for by ads. Yeah. So that's the argument. Advertisement, it helps poorer people, essentially, right?
I'll take that. But at the same time, it's kind of like we've literally just spent all of this time discussing the fact that people want to win the ads race by mining our data.
Yeah.
And often in like quite nefarious ways where we don't quite know or understand it. And you know, we're still not talking about the fact that like we have to make a decision, which is probably too complicated to do, as you know, Yuval Harari talks about in Homo Deus, between is it worth it? Like, is me / collectively us giving all of this information away for those organizations to become incredibly profitable and make their leadership billionaires, funneling all their money offshore so it isn't even like trickling down to help wider society? Is that okay? Am I okay with doing that just for some people to be able to use this product for free? Like, someone needs to like zoom out and do some kind of utilitarian cost benefit analysis. Because from my perspective, I honestly don't think it's worth it. I don't think it's worth it. I think we need to really, really think deep, long and hard about this, especially because there's been a lot of shady shit happening in tech recently with people trying to pretend that social justice issues are not related to work, that they're not important, even though there's all this research around it being productive. There are a lot of people making a lot of money out of tech who are going to do bad things. And I will say net bad things for society. I'm going to bring up Space Karen to end this rant. Because
who's Space Karen, if you don't know? If people don't know.
Elon Musk.
Okay.
The man who shot a car into space, no one asked him to. No one needed him to. There are people who need cars. There are people who need cars. He's shooting cars into space. He's now saying that humans must be a multiplanetary species. I am so sick of these like NASA nerd buzzwords. Fix the problems on Earth. Fix the problems on Earth. Send oxygen to India. I don't even know what else you can do. Like, make drugs free. The drugs that save lives. Pay off the debt of suffering countries in sub-Saharan Africa and beyond. Don't friggin' build a colony on Mars. I'm angry. Like, if another cishet white guy starts telling me that they need to go conquer space, I'm gonna remind them of the damage they have done here on Earth and send them their receipts, because no. So anyway, I don't know.
I agree with 99% of that, but catch me and Elon on Mars. That's all I'm saying. Peace out. When we're the two kings of Mars, you're going to be like, Michael, man, please. No, I'm joking. I'm not going to Mars. I'm too scared to get, I get frightened on airplanes. You think I'm getting on a rocket ship?
7 years to end up on a rock. Like,
yeah,
hello,
I know. It's terrible.
Look how beautiful our planet is. You want to spend 7 years to go to freaking a giant Ayers rock or whatever that thing in Australia is called.
A wise man once said, heal the world, make it a better place. That's what I'm going to say.
We Speaking of, can I just say, did you watch Saturday Night Live?
Ain't nobody got time for that. I didn't watch that shit. But I knew it was going to be on Twitter, so I just
said I made myself watch it.
What's the Abernethy review of your
because you know what?
Your arch enemy on SNL. Go on.
He's not my arch enemy. Look. You know, I just was like, let me just watch it because I'm trying to challenge myself. I'm trying to challenge my biases. Mm-hmm. And it was so uncomfortable to watch. Of course it was. It was just so cringe. So cringe. And as soon as he started talking about multiplanetary whatever nonsense, I was just like, okay, enough. I mean, I watched half of one of the sketches where he played a doctor, but then I was just like, enough.
So the only two things that I heard about on Twitter was he made Dogecoin drop because he said it was a hustle. And then two, he came out and admitted that he's got Asperger's, which is like a... it's on the autism spectrum essentially, right? And that was the kind of two kind of like main topics of conversation that I saw. Do you have any thoughts on those two, or was the whole thing a hot mess?
Great, let's get more high profile people disclosing their disabilities. As we know, not all disabilities are visible, and it's actually the largest underrepresented group in the workforce, people with disabilities. So that's friggin' awesome. Great. I mean, I probably wouldn't want to claim him because he's problematic, but
You know what? It definitely came out as a win for him, though. It definitely, like, I think it worked as a PR move. I think from what I've heard, he did come across as more likable. Yeah, humanized him, you know. And I don't think any of the other kind of tech CEOs could have done it. Like, I don't think Zuckerberg could have done it. I don't think Tim Cook could have done it. And
Tristan Walker on there. We got Tristan Walker on.
Listen,
SNL.
I got love for Tristan. You know what I'm saying? But right now, I'm talking about 100 billion people. You know what I'm saying? When he gets there, then we'll talk. But I got love for Tristan. Tristan's the OG. Don't get Tristan. Warren Buffett. You know what? This is the other thing about Warren Buffett. So you sent me a podcast, complete side tangent now, and they were talking about Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, who I both have read a lot of their stuff and look up to in terms of their intellect. But the reality is,
no stupid questions, by the way. If anyone wants to know.
So they were talking about the genius of their PR. So you think of Warren Buffett, you think of a cuddly old man. He doesn't spend a lot of money. He lives quite, you know, in a humble house with a humble car, but he's worth $70, $80 billion.
The benevolent billionaire.
I mean,
are there benevolent billionaires? You said Warren Buffett.
I didn't. I think I said Oprah. Don't play me. Don't. We need a producer to come in and play. Yeah, fact check that one. I didn't say that. I said, don't play me. I never said that. I said Oprah or something like that. I want to say Warren. Because the reality is, the point that was being made was that he is invested in Coca-Cola, which is basically giving a whole bunch of kids diabetes and it's basically poison. Yeah. Oil companies. He's basically invested in all of the old school companies and products that have basically effed up the planet and world. They've done good things, but they are not great for the health or the environment. But because he's so cuddly and nice and charming, and he's like your grandpa, if you're white, basically he could be like your grandpa. he's not my grandpa, but you know what I'm saying? He could be someone's grandpa. It's just a genius move, like, because he don't get no flack. More like Elon and Jeff Bezos and rare, but what is the strategy behind that? How does it work?
He's not on Twitter.
There we go.
The less you say, the less you can be judged.
Keep it shtum, which is not what we do on this podcast. Yeah, basically. Yo, everyone, it's reviews time. My favorite part of the show where I get to kind of boost our ego by having us read all your praise for us. And I'm joking. So Cam Iddy, I think it's Cam Iddy, based in the UK, writes, love at first listen. I love this podcast, stumbled on into it luckily, and now can't wait for the next episode. The rhetoric and thoughts are unique for POC and informative around anything tech related. A whole new world has been opened up around things I can finally directly relate to. A whole new world. Cue the Aladdin music. Let's go, drop a bomb. Yeah, that's sick, man. Really appreciate that. Yay. Everybody, leave your reviews if you want to get featured on Techish. And yeah, thank you, Cam Iddy. That we really appreciate it. We tried to create a whole new world. We try. Thank you for listening to this week's Techish. We really appreciate that. Techish in the house. Yeah, so catch us next week. Leave a review. Subscribe on iTunes, your Apple podcast. That really does help us in the rankings. And then the higher we go, the higher we can all take you on this journey of self-discovery. And
follow. Like that. You're the way beneath my waist, my
soul. And also follow.
And
yeah,
listeners.
Of course. We'd be nothing without you guys. And then also follow us on @TechishPod on Instagram and Twitter for more stuff and more business. And we'll catch you next week. Peace.
Should we start a TikTok? Should we? Let people tell us.
All right. Bye. Ciao.
Bye.